Welcome to In Conversation with Lyndon Terracini, the podcast where we meet the extraordinary talents, both on stage and off, working at Opera Australia. These conversations were all originally filmed for our streaming service, OA TV. You can find more online at tv.opera.org.au, as well as full productions and behind-the-scenes footage. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to OA TV. And my special guest today, Shanul Sharma, who's a wonderful young tenor, who's already having an international career. He's sung at the Bolshoi in Moscow, amongst other places, but he lives in Australia and he's a member of our Young Artist Program. So Shanul, welcome.
Maestro, thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be back in Sydney again.
It's a great pleasure to see you. So let's go back to the beginning. You were born in India.
Yes, indeed I was.
Whereabouts?
I was born in a town called Jabalpur, which is right in the middle of India, in a province called Madhya Pradesh.
And do you come from a musical family? Were your family interested in Western music?
Not at all. In fact, I think my dad wanted to be an actor, but he always felt he could sing, but he was always out of key and out of rhythm, kind of like me.
That's not true.
But he always had a creative spark, which I felt he wasn't able to fully express because he was a civil engineer. But when I moved to Australia, one of the first things he said to me, you know, son, there are going to be lots of IT engineers because I came here to study IT, but keep the music up as well.
And what about your mum? I know that she came and saw you in Viaggio Reims when it premiered in Melbourne, at the Arts Centre in Melbourne. She was in the front row.
Indeed. The story about that, actually. First of all, it was a big, it was so great for me that they could come and see me perform in my first big role in Australia, thanks to you. They were in the front row, and there's a scene in Viaggio Reims where everybody's getting dressed on stage, right? And because the lights are quite bright on stage, you could see the audience in the first three or four rows. And I saw my mum, and she saw me, and she's waved to me from the audience. And I just said to myself, whatever you do, don't look at her again, because you'll burst out laughing.
But was she interested in music as well, or?
No, not at all. My family's not musical at all.
Yeah.
I was a very shy child growing up, and I would just be in my room playing with my computer. And my dad got me this Casio keyboard. And I just... I guess I had a musical ear from the very beginning because I was able to pick up accents and inflections and sound quite, naturally.
Yeah.
And when I got the keyboard, I would listen to Bollywood music and I would play it out on the keyboard and people were like, my God, he's, so little and he's able to do all these things. So that gave me a bit of confidence, and because I didn't speak to many people anyways, music became a sort of expression for me.
So you mentioned you came to Australia to study IT.
Yes.
But then you did get into music, and when I first encountered you, you were singing with a heavy metal band.
Indeed I was. I'd actually just finished that up and kind of stepped into opera. And on a whim, I decided to audition at the Arts Centre on the set of Carmen. I can vividly recall that day.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm here and the theatre looks beautiful. I'm going to sing Amez Ami.
Yes.
So.
And it was fantastic. And so, we started giving you things in the extra chorus and all sorts of things and working with John Haddock, one of our coaches.
Right.
But let's just go back a little bit again. What got you into heavy metal? Why did you feel that was something that you wanted to sing and perform?
Well, you see, in India, when I grew up, I was heavily into Michael Jackson. I mean, I loved the way he performed, the way he carried himself on stage. He wrote his songs, his lyrics. He inspires me greatly even now. And out of the blue, a friend of mine once gave me a Def Leppard Greatest Hits CD. And I was like, wow, this rocks even more. It's really pumping, you know. And then from then on, we went to Iron Maiden, and one thing led to another. And suddenly in India, in school, I was singing songs like The Final Countdown, because I've always had a high voice.
Yeah.
And I felt, use it, why not?
Yeah.
So just kept doing that. And when I came to Australia, I thought I'd like to join something that is, really heavy. And one thing led to another, and the Metallica thing happened, and then I got really big into that. And then the band started writing music like that as well. And because of my high voice and the heavy guitars and drums that they ended up having, we had a, kind of contrasting ideas within the band itself. So yeah, rock and roll seemed to be the natural progression for me.
And then you mentioned you started getting into opera, but what was the impetus to sing in a classical way?
Luciano Pavarotti.
Uh-huh.
I was browsing YouTube randomly one day, and this guy came up, and he sang Nessun Dorma. You know, the 94 recording in the, And I was like, how does he do it?
Yeah.
I mean, I could sing the notes, but how does he have so much pasta in the sound,
you know,
that depth?
Yeah.
So I tried it myself, and I blew my voice. But I kept at it.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, there is something that I can imitate it to an extent.
Mm.
And then when the band broke up, I was like, maybe I'd like to explore this some more.
Mm.
If anything, I'd learn a new technique to incorporate into my music.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, one thing led to another, and I ended up in 2014 singing Ames Ami for you.
Yes. Now, I remember it very well as well. And then we put you in our school's company.
Yeah, 2 days' notice.
Exactly.
That was
And it was Cenerentola, I think,
yes,
you were doing,
yeah,
which is also a very high part. And but you've progressed tremendously since then. And as I mentioned earlier, you've already sung in Viaggio Reims at the Bolshoi in 2 seasons.
Yes.
Do you want to talk a little bit about what that experience was like? Because the Bolshoi is a very difficult theatre to sing in. It's very dead, and you really need to know what you're doing in that theatre. So how was that experience?
Well, you know, every time, there's a part in Viaggio Reims where we have the inni, the anthems.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the Inno Russo of the Russian, which I'm playing. And being a Russian in Russia is another thing entirely.
Mm.
The Bolshoi is a very difficult theater to sing in. And thankfully, you know, you gave me the advice before I even went there, get out there and sing it.
Yes.
So in Viaggio Reims, we climb up the ladder and we start to sing. And every time in the Inno Russo I sang, I would look up to the heavens and I would go, this boy that was born in Jabalpur is in one of the biggest theaters in the world, one of the most historic theaters. How did I get here?
Mm.
It was an exhilarating feeling.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Similarly to singing at a Sydney Opera House, Melbourne Arts Centre, even when I sang it in Pesaro, it was that same feeling. How did I get here?
Mm.
Amazing.
Well, it is amazing, and it's a fantastic story in that, you know, you're very modest about it, but obviously you're extremely talented. You have this extraordinary voice with a great facility for high notes, Ames Ami. How many high Cs are there in Ames Ami?
Well, there are 9.
Exactly. And I think you put a high D in at the end.
Depends on the day.
Yeah, well, I recall you did that, which was very impressive. But to absorb the style and to be able to sing those things is a fantastic achievement. And so this year, do you want to talk a little bit about the roles that you're covering and that you'll be doing in the future?
Yes, so I was going to be singing Prince Leopold in La Juive, which unfortunately, you know, got cancelled.
Mm.
But I'm also covering the role of Gennaro in Lucrezia Borgia, which is a great thing for me because I feel that the voice now is taking on extra colours. And I even realised that in the Bolshoi when I was doing Viaggio Reims in March, that there is something more there in the sound, and Gennaro will allow me to express that, you know, in beautiful detail because of the bel canto line. And then because it's Donizetti, you can really play with the emotions a bit more.
Mm. No, it's a great part for you. And again, it's a difficult role. Alfredo Kraus used to sing it a lot. And I think your voice is heading in that direction. So you'll be able to sing the Duke and Rigoletto and so on and so on.
Fingers
and it's exactly, but it's terrific. But I always ask my guests to either sing or play something. And today you've got a very special something that you're going to sing. Do you want to talk a little bit about it? You can explain it better than I can.
Well, you know, this idea came to me when I was watching the movie Kill Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Right at the beginning of the movie, there is this guitar with a tremolo, and it has this song of a woman singing the Bang Bang song. And I'm like, I've always liked Nadir's aria in Le Pêcheur de Pearl as well.
Yes.
And I always thought of it as a pop song. And I was just doodling with the guitar, and I thought, let's try it. It's an A, with an A minor chord. And I thought in the beginning, I'm just going to use the chord, the voicing of the chord, to recreate the orchestra as best as I can. Mm. Because it's quite simplistic as far as the backing is concerned.
Mm.
And one thing led to another. I sent you the initial draft as well.
I loved it. I thought it was terrific.
Yeah, thank you, you know, because I didn't know what you were going to think.
Yeah.
It's so out there. And then one thing led to another, and I thought, if I play with the chord voicings, maybe change the chords a little bit, it'll give it more of a pop flavor. Mm. And from pop, we went to heavy rock, and it ended up being what it is today.
Yeah, so it's really going back to what you're first doing in Australia, in a big heavy metal version of Nadir's aria from the Pearlfishers.
And I think it's a tune that everybody, you know, because it's such a beautiful melody.
Gorgeous.
It translates well.
It does,
into modern arrangements, I guess.
But then you've taken it further and you've made a video of it.
Why not?
Exactly.
We have this time, so I met up, would you believe, my old band's drummer, Jin Tomo, is now a videographer, and somehow he's in Melbourne. I met him in Cardiff when I was there, then I met him in Melbourne, that he's here now somehow. So I called him up, and with 2 days' notice, Tomo, do you want to make a video? I'm like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And with 4 hours of filming, somehow we came up with something. So, yeah, and I'd like to share it with all of you.
Fantastic. Well, Shanul, thank you very much for being with us. And ladies and gentlemen, you'll now be able to hear and see Shanul with his version of Nadir's aria from the Pearlfishers. We'll follow that with a version of the same aria arranged by Taya Hilkema, the principal cellist of the Opera Australia Orchestra, and four of his colleagues from the cello section in a version of the very same aria. I hope you enjoy them both.
We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to In Conversation with Lyndon Terracini. We hope you've enjoyed the chat, and we'd love for you to subscribe to the podcast. That way, you'll get each new episode as they're released. We also hope to see you in the theatre in the not-too-distant future. And you can stay up to date with all we've got going on at opera.org.au.